stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Listener discretion is advised for explicit content.
Remember the Vice Squad coming in?
The San Diego Vice Squad at its best. Guardians of public morality.
Well, they too feel the badge entitles them to abuse dancers.
The blonde said, "Get dressed, you're going to Las Colinas."
There was something so scary about him.
This situation did constitute retaliation and harassment.
I didn't know that I was an NHI, no humans involved, and that's what they called us.
I will complain until I'm finally heard.
And the dancer disappeared.
I didn't know I was a fringe woman, meaning women who were prostitutes, addicts, exotic dancers.
How dare a stripper, a fringe woman, not stay silent and compliant as vice officers sexually harassed her, and worse? And how dare Cotta Pierce Morgan challenge stereotypes and fight back? But Lay Girls Theater had a history of fighting back, starting with its owner, James Morgan, who spoke up against police abuse to a county grand jury in the hopes that the California Attorney General would crack down on the San Diego Police Department's rat pack.
The only thing the state attorney general's investigation accomplished was to prove that the police brotherhood could commit felonies and have little or no fear of going to jail. Needless to say, after Lay Girls participated in the grand jury investigation, the police brotherhood's retaliation became overwhelming.
Cotta Pierce Morgan was a Midwestern Catholic girl who believed, like her late husband Jim, in not being a silent bystander. Even if you were a dancer at Lay Girls, the trailblazing strip club. After all, Jim had won a groundbreaking victory over censorship in the late 1960s. But as the 60s became the 70s, Cotta and her fellow dancers faced an onslaught of police raids, nude interrogations, and coerced encounters. Cotta realized the traditional channels of justice had tuned out. Then she had an idea, a way to take matters into her own hands.
The 7-Eleven stores found that video cameras greatly reduced shoplifting and armed robberies. Therefore, why wouldn't they protect the dancers from false arrests and sexual coercion? The results were spectacular. The arrests dropped from over 310 during the 1969 to 75 period to approximately 15 during 75 to 78. And since 1978, there's only been five.
Cotta felt like she'd won. She'd chased the rats away. However, the battle had taken a toll. She suffered from nightmares and depression and decided to leave the business in 1979. She went back to grad school, believing she'd made the club safer for the other dancers. But as the 70s turned into the 80s, the rats came scurrying back, more emboldened than ever. Prepare for Stripper Energy, Chapter 4, Vice Grip, or the Rise of the Rat Pack. I need to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy, fighting back from the fringes. And just a reminder, this is also available as a video podcast. Go to kpbs.org/stripperenergy for more information.
Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Pepper was a dancer at both Lay Girls Theater and its sister venue, Showplace. She's chosen not to reveal her identity because negative stereotypes about strippers persist today. Back in the 1980s, she often interacted with police.
The vice cops create this element of tension because we never knew what they were going to do. They could come in and be nice for a second and then turn into just scary, because I don't know if you've ever heard the saying about what happens to a dog. If you have a dog and you pet its head every time you walk by, the dog will wag its tail, it's happy to see you. If you kick a dog every time you walk by it, it shudders every time you walk by. But if you pet it one time and kick it another time, the dog is in a state of anxiety all the time because it never knows what you're going to do. And that's what happens to us. We don't know what they're going to do. We have anxiety every time they come by. And it's that anxious feeling. It's like a mental illness
This was a very bad time of police, and they were running rampant, and during the 80s, just getting away with it.
Although Cotta had stepped away from the theater, she stayed in touch with the dancers, and they told her about one 18-year-old Le Girl stripper who'd been stalked for months by a vice officer. Her name was Angela Faulkner.
Now imagine how a nightclub waitress or dancer must feel and what she must endure when a vice officer under the guise of authority goes out of his way to intimidate and sexually harass her night after night, week after week, and month after month. Angela Faulkner suffered from such treatment.
Cotta could not remain a silent bystander once she heard Angela's story, so she returned to the adult entertainment world. But she wasn't the same person.
I felt very close to Angela, who was a catalyst in my becoming an advocate of dancers' rights. Since 84, I protested the psychological harm that occurs in every instance in which a vice officer first reduces a woman to tears through verbal abuse, intimidation, and fear of arrest, and in every instance in which a vice officer strips a woman of her sense of dignity, value, and control, and in every instance in which a vice officer manipulates a woman into sex.
By that time, I was no longer, a 20-something. I was in my 30s. And, there's something about being in your 30s. You kind of come into your own as a woman. You're more confident.
Cotta's confidence was evident to J.W. August, a longtime San Diego journalist who covered the police during that period.
I do remember meeting her. Very interesting woman. Very smart. She was really a smart lady. Smarter than the cops gave her credit for.
They also underestimated her fierce determination to protect these young women. Cotta fired up some stripper energy, the kind that begins in fear but rises to anger.
I made the decision to contact Internal Affairs, a decision which was frightening to me because I had a long history of compliance.
Part of what frightened Cotta was the systematic nature of the harassment and how cops were able to exploit society's persistent stereotype regarding strippers, that they were prostitutes. That's the justification for city ordinances like ID cards, no-touch laws, and the 6-foot ordinance requiring a minimum distance between customers and nude dancers. City fathers said those laws were needed to protect consenting adults engaging in a completely legal activity from the evils of prostitution. This is the infrastructure that allowed the Rat Pack cops to do all their dirty business while claiming to be protecting and serving.
And a lot of things she said about the officers and the treatment of the young ladies, we had heard before. I'd actually talked to dancers in the past on other stories when I was doing stories on prostitution. That was one of the things that we had discussed with her. Not to say the dancers were prostitutes, they weren't, and that was one of the big problems with PD, because they lumped the dancers in with prostitution, when in fact, it was, a lot of these girls were going to San Diego State trying to make a few extra bucks.
The type of business that has a tendency to attract people who are involved in prostitution.
Le Girls, in 18 years, has never had one charge of prostitution from a customer or the vice squad, so there's no track record for it, although there has been a track record for vice squad sexual abuse. The dancers need to be protected from the police, not the customers being protected from the dancers.
Things had gotten so bad by the mid-1980s that Cotta felt she had no choice but to make formal complaints to Internal Affairs. This provoked the Rat Pack even more. Now it wasn't just their sexual pursuits that were being threatened, but possibly their jobs.
And we went into a period after I went to Internal Affairs in 84, we had 85 and 86, and there was an onslaught of things that were happening to the dancers.
One of the greatest fears a cocktail waitress, dancer, or prostitute faces is retaliation if she reveals the names of an officer or officers who coerced her into sex. Retaliation has always been a weapon of the police brotherhood.
We always hear about the Blue Brotherhood. It existed. They pretty much felt that they had carte blanche to do whatever they wanted to do, and nobody was going to question them.
There was a process, a step-by-step manipulation that some vice cops took to move vulnerable young dancers from fear to sexual compliance. It could begin simply with a vice cop asking for a dancer's ID to verify her age.
Though he knew she was old enough to be in the club, though he knew who she was and what her name was, he would isolate her out of sight from other dancers and talk to her privately. Want to see her ID, talk to her privately every single time. So it would either be the hallway or over by the bathroom. Completely inappropriate. If you already know somebody's of age, you don't need to identify them again and again and again and again.
After a while, seeing the repetition of citations issued to the dancers that were patently absurd, seemed patently false, and other types of retaliatory action that would happen after you would complain about it, made me come to the conclusion that we're dealing with systematic police harassment.
John Berridge is a lawyer who represented Lay Girls in the 1980s.
Well, I think the thing that stuck in my mind the most about dealing with the police department is writing innumerable letters and not getting any response.
Pepper recalled writing statements immediately after each incident with vice officers.
You can get everything written down while the memory's fresh. So if you need to turn something into the police, and it was always to turn something into the police, but then also there's this catharsis that happens. So you can get this poison out of you.
Pepper recently reread statements written by dancers for decades ago, including one that immediately put her back in the hallway, observing one vice officer's inappropriate behavior with a dancer.
Asking her, "Don't you like me yet?" And then wanting to know why I'm in the hallway. I'm like, "I'm just observing." It's like, "Well, you're interfering with a police investigation." "Yeah, sure I am." "You mean, yeah, you sniffing her armpits again?" I mean, he's so weird. Every time, you know, he came in and she was there, he had her up against the wall in the hallway or trying to get her by herself somewhere.
I need to take one last break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy, fighting back from the fringes.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
The cameras Kata installed at Les Girls and the other clubs could not see everything, and the Rat Pack eventually devised a new system of harassment outside the clubs. Kata spoke of one act of retaliation at a restaurant called the Red Onion by officers she had reported to Internal Affairs.
They came into the Red Onion and they announced in front of everybody that these girls were strippers and that they danced at Les Girls, and they harassed them. They ruined Tiffany's birthday by demanding her social security number. They wanted their addresses, phone numbers. They did it for almost an hour.
Now the dancers had to be fearful of harassment and retaliation, not just at their workplace, but anywhere. It also meant that customers, total strangers, and the vice cops could have all their personal information, even if there was not an arrest or citation.
When he got all my information, he folded it up on a piece of paper and put it in his pocket. Why do you have my information on a piece of paper in your pocket? That's creepy. Now I gotta worry about this guy coming to my house?
Or just stalking you. One dancer, who went by the name of Candy, was targeted outside of the workplace after she appeared in Hustler magazine.
Well, during the same time, we had this hooligan of vice officers running around. This one little group, they saw this girl at this night spot, and they said that they were going to arrest her unless she found her centerfold and wrote something nasty in it. They each wanted an issue. So they actually, on city time, they followed her around until she was able to locate. They had to go to several places.
Kate Yavinditti is a lawyer and activist who's been working to improve police oversight.
Stories that I'm sure you've been hearing and we have been hearing about retaliation against people who would make any kind of complaints, about people being, you know, harassed and even more than harassed if they tried to make complaints, and people really fearful.
And that's the reason why these police officers did it, is to make sure that other people didn't do it, because there's consequences to be paid.
John also noted that when dancers complained about the cops, the retaliation could come from the entire city bureaucracy.
What would happen is if you would complain about the vice squad coming in and harassing the entertainers, you'd file a complaint often the complaint wouldn't go anywhere. You wouldn't know what happened to it. And then the fire department would then come in and do a fire inspection to determine whether or not you were in compliance with the fire code. Or someone from the health department would come down and start inspecting you to make sure to see if you were complying with the health department regulations.
As Kata and the dancers were trying to speak up, no one in polite society seemed willing to help them end the abuse.
Stanley tonight.
Yeah. Well, you allege that some tried to harass you. Are they still on the department, these men?
Yes, and that's the deplorable part of it, is that there have been officers who have physically abused dancers, who have threatened dancers, who have written false reports. I have filed complaints with Internal Affairs, and these men are still in positions of power.
Kata says she was targeted by Norman Hardman, a vice officer who was concerned about what she might say when she went to Internal Affairs.
I think he thought that I knew, or I was going to be talking about more than I did. So he was fixated on me, and he came into Showplace, where I managed, and he shut us down. He said to my cashier, you know, tell Kathy this is just a warning.
Mel is the current manager of Les Girls Theater, and like Pepper, she chose not to reveal her identity.
Unfortunately, there are too many people out there that still have the thought of, if you work in the sex industry, a strip club, anything along those lines, you must be less than moral.
In the 1980s, Mel's mother worked at Les Girls Theater and witnessed the actions of Norman Hardman.
This is a statement written by my mom, August 31st, 1984. About 1 a.m., Norman came in and went into the control booth. They stood next to the microphonist. I was busy with my paperwork. When Sherry was done dancing, Norman told me her show was lewd because twice she simulated sexual intercourse. He said we all could be jailed, but that he was just going to ticket us, and that in his old age, he was getting soft heart. Therefore, he wasn't going to give us a ticket, just a verbal warning. He also said, I hope you know you're getting off light. See, I can be a nice guy. Why don't you let Kathy know that?
Although the Rat Pack was not backing down, Kata found hope in the fact that for the first time, there was a woman in charge of Vice, Leslie Lord.
It's about time that they had a female in the Vice Squad. I think the Vice should all be women, because then you get rid of that sexual, you know, entanglement that takes place.
That was from a conversation between Kata and Leslie Lord. Kata jokes that they both used to tape each other. The two became friendly adversaries of sorts, with Lord actually reaching out to Kata for a meeting. But on November 25th, 1989, Lord was out of town when Vice officers staged what Kata calls another raid, centering around an alleged infraction of the 6-foot ordinance.
Well, I, in my wisdom, had put a black tape across the stage that wasn't 6 feet back, it was 8 feet back.
Kata appeared on television with Leslie Lord.
One thing I learned that officers tend to make false reports, they have in the past, and it's just your word against the officers. So I installed video equipment in the theater. The officers in the incident that we'll be discussing today did not realize that the stage was taped, and they were in the process of making a false report.
So what you actually have is you have a tape, and even if they step over that, they still have 2 more feet.
No.
So beyond that 6-foot requirement, you have an 8-foot.
Yes, we had a 2-foot buffer. And we had an allegation made on November 25th where the Vice officer said that the dancer stepped over the line. The videotape shows that she did not come within 6 feet of the customer. In fact, she was 8 feet back.
The November 25th incidents with which Kathleen has referred to involving the violation of the 6-foot rule was completely investigated by myself and a supervisor in my unit. We determined that there were some misperceptions and some miscommunications that occurred on the night in question, and the matter was handled. A complete investigation was done.
And ultimately, because we had video proof, you know, they found that there was nothing to charge the girls with. They hadn't done anything wrong. I tried calling Lieutenant Lord. I finally got through.
Let me tell you what my interpretation is of what happened. You made a mistake on the permit. He's got confused on the distinctions in your being a theater as opposed to any of the other establishments where the girls have to have their nude entertainer licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very candid about that. You know, that was an error on his part, and that has been addressed. It's not to say that it wasn't, when I say serious, that in the eyes of yourself, in the eyes of your employees, that it was an event. You know, people were, they were being put on the spot by police officers, but by the same token, I don't think it rises to some of the other things that I have seen during the course of my career. We obviously had a misunderstanding. We had a thing of improper procedure, as I've said to you in the past, that I hope there's enough of an element of, I won't say trust, I can only hope for that, you know, that we both agree that we have things that we believe in. We have people that we need to support.
But it was a very discouraging time because I thought that we wouldn't ever have those kind of things happening to us again, and it happened.
I've been aware for many, many years that there were problems with the police department and with police misconduct and, frankly, police brutality as part of the National Lawyers Guild.
Kate noted that CADA's inability to have the police held accountable for their actions revealed how marginalized communities had no voice and no recourse when it came to police misconduct.
That's really what sparked in the 80s this movement across the country, including San Diego, to start having these review boards.
Coming up next on Stripper Energy, Fighting Back from the Fringes, CADA's fight against police injustice forces her to go undercover. Deep undercover.
Oh, sorry, that one. Oh, I have a comfortability with this. I'm used to wearing microcassettes in my bra.
Join us for Chapter 4, Fighting Back, or the Rise of Stripper Energy.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.